in the Marshes by Ian Robinson. Hamish watched his daughters playing chase through the long grass, arching their backs to avoid each other's touch, their squeals cutting through the cooling air. This common was where he'd hung out with Chris and Aid in that long summer before uni. Now his daughters were playing on it. Unimaginable 23 years ago. On this turf he was both 18 and 41. His friend Chris was both alive and already 2 decades gone. His daughters were both inconceivable and startling in their presence.
"Are we going home?"
It was Maggie, his eldest, her cheeks flushed from the chase and the cold air. Mary stumbled up beside her. He smiled at them. They were beautiful. His joy tangled in loss. "It's getting a little late," he said, turning towards the lane. "Time for tea."
"Oh, not now,"
said Mary, dragging the words out into a whine.
"We have to play more."
Mary never wanted to eat. Life was too urgent. He prepared himself for a tussle of wills, but found that Maggie was hopping from one foot to another, her mouth puckered up in that way she had when she was thinking.
"We can feed the birds before tea, can we? Can we, Dad?"
Mary jumped up and down. Maggie's shadow, her echo.
"Can we? Can we?"
He nodded, and they followed the lane, the girls running ahead, their wellies a little loose, long shadows dancing ahead of them. It was something Annie would have commented on, shared with him. He didn't want to meet anyone, not just yet. He wasn't sure what. To heal, perhaps. To have space. Perhaps that was why he'd come back after so much time. Because in Bristol, where he'd spent the bulk of those 23 years, the memories were far denser, more unbearable. Echoes of his former selves and of Annie, layering and amplifying in the air in every familiar haunt. The girls turned up the drive, and when he got them back in sight, they were crowding around Aid, who was waiting by the cottage, leaning against his little red van. They lived in the End Cottage, an extended former estate worker's home with flinty walls and grey roof slates. Its 3 small bedrooms and little walled garden felt like luxuries after their Battersea flat. There was money left over from the sale, enough to see them through the year until he'd worked out his next steps. Aid stubbed out his ciggy and crouched down, letting the girls hug him before they raced off through the gate and into the garden.
"I was passing by," he said as Hamish approached. "Bad timing."
Aid had his back to the sun, and Hamish had to shade his eyes to read his mood.
"Just about to sling something in the oven for the girls. Beer?"
Aid was still in his overalls. His boots were flecked all over with paint.
"Won't stay long," he replied with a nod.
Hamish unlocked the front door and went through to the kitchen, where he could keep an eye on the girls in the garden. Maggie had taken her bag of bread crusts and cheese crumbs from her pocket and was standing on the wooden bench, shielding her eyes to scan the sky. Mary was clambering up beside her, eager for the show. Hamish took 2 tins from the fridge, opened them, handed one to Aid.
"Watch," he said.
Maggie was on tiptoes, her arms outstretched. From her fists, she let the crumbled food fall. A shadow dropped from the sun, then another, and within a few seconds there were 6 or 7 jackdaws on the patio, strutting around the bench, taking the food in their beaks and angling their heads to watch Maggie's fingers with their pale grey eyes. Mary clung to the arm of the bench, a little afraid. Maggie let more food fall. Another group of birds came down, a pair of magpies getting in on the action, a jay, more jackdaws.
"Oh, that isn't right," said Aid.
"It's fine. I think they like her."
"They're vermin. They're clever."
Hamish considered telling Aid about the gifts, but thought he wouldn't understand that. He wouldn't want to hear it.
"Vermin. Scavengers. You're just cold meat to them. A future meal."
"Maybe." Hamish turned to face his old friend. "So what's up? You're here for a reason, I can tell."
"It's nearly 24 years this weekend, that's all."
"Chris?" Aid nodded.
"We haven't talked about him much since you came back."
"Well, it's a long time ago."
"Not for me, it isn't.
Look, I've had other things to deal with, you know that.
I just think we ought to talk properly, like, about, you know, what happened that night."
Hamish shook his head. He'd been over it all in his mind so many times before. The last hours before Chris went missing. The police had questioned him a couple of times. For a while, he thought they suspected him. They'd searched the marshes in dinghies and with divers, but nothing had been found. After 7 years, Chris was declared legally dead. But that was all 2 decades ago. Hamish sighed.
"I don't want to drag it all up again. Not now, especially not now." "He's out there somewhere."
Aid flushed, pacing to the door and back again.
"Don't you want to find him?"
"Come on, Aid."
"Ah, I see."
He placed the beer tin on the worktop.
"I've got to go anyway."
"It's not that," Hamish called after him. He heard the door of the van slam and the engine start. He sighed again and tipped the dregs of Aid's beer fizzing into the sink. Outside, Maggie had run out of food to throw. The birds suddenly peeled away in ones and twos until the garden was bare and silent. Maggie jumped down from the bench and Mary followed her. The crumbs were gone, but Maggie found a stick and poked about among the paving stones and the long grass of the lawn. After a while, she bent down and came back with something in her hand, her reward. They both came running, panting through the kitchen door.
"Did you see? Did you see?"
"I saw."
She held it up for him. It was an old bolt this time, a little rusty.
"Wash it and put it with the others."
Maggie nodded, but her eyes were searching the room behind her.
"Where's Aid?"
Hamish tousled her hair.
"Oh, he had to go. Come on, dinner's ready soon."